Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us, and just looking at God's word and starting a new week and being in his presence, there's no greater joy, no greater blessing. And we've been talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. And remember, we spoke about, when we speak of sonship, we speak of being adopted as children of God. And one of the things that God does is that he chooses us in Christ to be adopted as children of God. And we say that when we are born again, when we come into Christ, we now enter a kingdom, and we enter the kingdom of God. We are now babes, and the Bible says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, or pure, which is the word of God, by which you might grow. So God desires that we don't stay children in the kingdom of God, and once we come to the kingdom of God, but with that we grow into maturity. And it is only the mature sons that manifest the glory of God. This is something that we have to fully understand, that when we come to Christ, then he has to take us through his school. He has to take us through this, what we call the school of the Spirit. And this is the place where the Holy Spirit is our teacher, is our guide. He starts to teach us how to walk in the Spirit, how to live in step with the Spirit, how we can bear fruit of the Spirit. And once we start to bear fruit of the Spirit, then from there God is able now to move us into our purpose, where we know what is our positioning in Christ, what is our purpose on the earth, what is it that God has called us to do. Not all of us are called to the pulpit, not all of us are called to choir, not all of us are called to ushering, but you see, there is a place that each of us are called to, and that is our unique placement and our unique positioning in God. Now, that unique positioning in God does not absolve us of the responsibilities of reaching out for the lost. It does not absolve us of the responsibility of being a witness for the gospel, because that is the standard of every believer. The standard of every believer is that we are first of all called to be witnesses of God. The Bible says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And you see, when you think of that word witnesses, it's the word in Greek, if you look at it, is maturia. And that is a word that was used for court, in the court system. Whenever someone will want to bring evidence, they will have to bring witnesses. Now, a witness is someone who has the experience, who was there, who saw what happened, who can prove without a shadow of doubt and can provide tangible evidence that the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is resurrected. And that is what the apostles kept saying. We are witnesses of this fact that God raised him from the dead, and he has made this Jesus that you crucified to be Lord and Christ of them all. So when God has called us to the place of witnesses, the place of being a witness is not limited to only those who are pastors. The place of witnessing is being the living epistle, to being that living example that people can read, that people can see your life, that people can examine you, that people can touch you, and that they can experience and know that this is the Christ life. This is the Christian. Remember, it was in Berea that the believers were first called Christians, because they manifested the Christian life. So in that place where you manifest the Christian life, that is the place that you are called. You are called Christians in Antioch. In Antioch is where they were first called Christians. Why were they first called Christians? It is because there was teaching. They were taught the word of God. They manifested the word of God, and they grew. The Bereans were the noble ones, where they kept checking What is it that they had been taught? Is it in line with the scriptures? So there is a place for growth. There's a place what we call the school of the spirit. And if you look at where we were linking up with our key verses in Galatians chapter 4, it said that, you know, when a child is even though the child is the heir of all things, he is no different from a slave. And he is appointed tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. That means that there is a growth. There is a time that God has appointed where we grow into maturity, where we move into that place where we can soar on wings as eagles, where we can, go beyond that which is, you know, is in the natural. But then there is that time that comes when we truly manifest, when we truly reveal, when we truly show ourselves to the world. That is a place where we have grown, and that the Bible says is a time appointed by the Father. But indeed, the question is, how do we live in this time? How do we understand the things of God? How do we walk in the Spirit? And the first thing that we see is that, first of all, we know that we are given the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, it is good for me to go, because if I go, I will ask the Father and he will send you another helper. And this helper is the Spirit of truth, who will come and walk alongside with you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to walk alongside with you, what he does is that the Holy Spirit teaches you, and he will bring you to remembrance all the things that I have taught you. And the Bible says that he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all truth. What is all truth? All truth is what the scriptures are teaching us. Is the Bible says that those who are the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God brings us to a place where he wants us to understand his ways. He wants us to know him, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. So the most important person that the believer receives is the Holy Spirit. And then the other component that is needed is the scriptures. The Bible says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk by which you might grow in your salvation. And then, of course, the third and most important thing is our place of fellowship. How is it do we stay in fellowship? And we stay in fellowship with God. That means we stay in fellowship in prayer. When we pray, when we commune with the Word of God, when we commune with him, when we are sensitive to his Spirit, then this is the place where we grow in fellowship. And the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with him. So, and if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we walk in fellowship with him. And the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus forgives us and purifies us from all unrighteousness. But you see, apart from this fellowship with God, which is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, there is also the fellowship of believers. And the Bible calls us that we should not forsake the meeting together of brethren. If you look at Hebrews 10:24-25, it says that, as some of you are in the habit of doing, let us not forsake the meeting together of brethren. Why? Because when we meet together, then we are taught the Word of God. We are encouraged one unto another. We get to experience the warmth of fellowship. We can confess our sins to one another. We have brothers that we can walk with. And you see, Jesus says that whenever two or three agree on a matter on earth, it shall be done for you. So one of the importances of fellowship is to agree with one another. When you pray together, you agree. When you pray with someone who is praying in the Spirit, there are things that you learn from him. There are things that he brings you also to his level. He brings you to his level of operation, to his level of influence, and you are able to walk with them. Now, as I said, the most important thing that in the school of the Spirit, first of all, is that God teaches us to walk in step with the Spirit. We are taught to walk by the Spirit. And for this, this is where we need to look at our scriptures today. And we are going to look at Galatians chapter 5. And we are going to look at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. And here, when we are in this point where we look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, it's the place where God now starts to teach us the importance of walking in step with the Spirit. And if you read Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit," or "walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and of things like this. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, just pause there. We are saying that we are now in the school of the Spirit. We are now in the place where God wants to teach us how to walk this righteous life, how to walk as a believer, how to grow in the things of the Spirit. Because remember, you say that as long as a child is still a child, he is subjected to tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So until the time appointed by the Father, God needs to take us through the school of the Spirit. He needs to take us through our learnings, our lessons. And so what is the first lesson that we are seeing that God first takes us through? First of all, as long he first has to take us from the law. He has to take us away from the law, the understanding of the law, because the understanding of the law is what I do is what makes me saved. But you see, first of all, you must break that class and understand that you are only saved by the love of God. It is only the mercy of God. It is only the redemption, the redemptive work of Christ on the cross by which we come to be accepted of God. Now, first, once you settle that in your heart, that there is nothing that you have done that makes you accepted to God, and there is nothing that you can do that makes you even more accepted by God apart from what Christ has done. It is only Christ that can translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light. Now, once you settle that, then now you need to now start to walk by the Spirit. Now, what is this walking by the Spirit? It says, if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, it starts to tell you that now you will find this law at work within you, that there is a law at work in your members, that the good you want to do, you don't do it. But the bad that you want to do is what you find yourself doing. Now, this is the law of sinful nature. Now, this law of carnality, with these desires of the flesh, they come to wage war against your spirit. Now, you must first understand that when you're born again, you're now a living spirit. You know, you are a life-giving spirit. You're no longer operating from your soul. You're not a living soul like Adam was, but now we are of the second Adam. We are the new creation. We are of Christ. Remember, the second Adam is Christ. So we are Christ's. We are no longer Adam, but now we are under Christ. Now the Christ is the second Adam and the last Adam. And now of this type of man that God has made, this Superman, this new generation, this new creation that God has made, we are no longer controlled by the sinful nature. Sinful nature has no power to control us. The Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because the power, the life, the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. That means there's a law of the Spirit of life that works in the life of the new believer, of the new creation, that gives them power over the flesh. Now, when we know that we have power over the flesh, it is us that now makes the choice. The Bible says, now, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That means you're not going to choose to go after the desires of the flesh. Why? Because you know that the desires of the flesh are contrary to the desires of the Spirit. This is the place where you have to conquer your body. You have to conquer your flesh. Paul says that I put my body to death. I mortify my body. I put my body to death that I will not gratify its desires. That after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So when we walk in the Spirit, we put to death the desires of the flesh. Why? Because the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. They are contrary to the desires of the Spirit. So now, as we are in that school of the Spirit, we now start to hear the desires of the Spirit. We now start to know the speakings of the Spirit. How do we know the desires of the Spirit? By the Word of God. By the Word of God, then we know the mind of God. We know His desires. And the Bible says He will give us a new heart. He will take away the heart of flesh and give us a new heart, a heart that desires God. Now, the desires of the Spirit bring us to the desires of God. Now, it is God who has already given you this new heart, this heart of flesh. That means that He now tunes your desires to the desires of God, to the desires of the Spirit, that now you start to know the thoughts of God. You start to do good out of easiness, out of ease. That means it becomes easy for you to do the right thing. Why? Because you no longer have a heart of stone, but you have a heart of flesh, which a soft heart which God has given you, by which you are able to hear God, to know God, and to have the desires of God. And He tells us, what are the desires of the flesh? Now it says the desires of the flesh are what? They are obvious, they are evident, they are manifest. That means that no one needs to tell you this is a fleshly activity. No one needs to tell you that this is sin. Why? Because the works of sin are obvious. The works of sin are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. What are they? He now gives us a list. Sexual immorality, impurity. Impurity now speaks of our thoughts. It speaks of what we watch. It speaks of what we read. It speaks of, you know, of things that we know do not make us pure. Even the speakings that we speak. If you are friends with someone and you know this person, in their speech, in their discussions, they don't leave you pure, then you're not walking by the Spirit, but you're walking according to the desires of the flesh. But someone will say, oh no, the way the person speaks to me, they make me happy. You see, you're already, it is your flesh that is made happy, not the Spirit of God in you. So it says, you can see sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, all works of witchcraft. And you see, works of witchcraft does not mean that you need to even be the self that is doing it. You can be participating in witchcraft by even watching series and movies that are doing witchcraft. When you are a partaker of that, then you're also being incanted. You're being part of that incantation. And you'll realize that it is hard to pray even after watching certain movies. Why? Because you are already part of an incantation. You're already part of witchcraft. And what you think they're just saing, you have no idea what they are doing in the Spirit. They are speaking also to you. Sorcery. Enmity. Enmity. Is there someone you're having enemy with? Strife. Conflict. There are people who just love to cause conflict among brethren. And God tells us, avoid such people. Avoid such people who their job is just to cause conflict. Look at that. Jealousy. jealous for people, fits of anger. You find someone who say, for me, I just cannot control my anger. When I am angry, you will know me. You will know me. I will put aside this Jesus and I will deal with you first. And then I will put him back. Now, this is a person who is still walking according to the flesh. This is not someone who is ready yet to be a manifester of the Spirit, to manifest the Son of God. They are still in that place of carnality because they are still fighting. They are still saying, I am for Apollos, I am for Paul. They are still saying, my church is better than your church. Oh no, my pastor is better than your pastor. They are still fighting other denominations, other churches. When you find someone like that, those are still children. They are still walking after the flesh. Why? Because they have not seen the unity of the body of Christ. They have not seen the unity of the Spirit, that we are united, that one part is a hand, the other part is a leg, the other part is an eye, the other part is an ear. We need to first understand that we are a body. When we are a body, then we are not going to be in rivalries. We are not going to be in dissensions, in divisions, in envy, in drunkenness. Someone will argue, oh, this is not drunk, this is just a little. In orgies, and the Bible says, and the like, and things like this. That means God does not need to exhaust the list. He does not need to exhaust the list and add pornography. He does not need to exhaust the list and add smoking. He does not need to exhaust the list because this list is there. The Bible says the works of the flesh are obvious. Then he says, and I warn you as I did before. That means that Paul did not encourage people to walk in sin, to tell them that now, oh, because the grace of God is there, you can do whatever you want. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot say that you are under grace, that whatever you do does not matter. No, it matters. If you live like this, then the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 22 of Galatians 5 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit. I tell you, when you start to walk in the Spirit, when you start to walk according to the leadings of God, according to the desires of God, when you start to be obedient to the speakings of God, the Bible says now you will start to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it does not say fruits, because many times we think of many fruits, but he's telling us that it is one fruit that is composite. That means that you need to manifest all these nine fruits that are listed that show us that this is someone who is walking according to the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is this, is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, is kindness, is goodness, is faithfulness, is gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And the Bible says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become proud, conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What is God telling us? That if we are to walk in the Spirit, if we are to walk in step with Him, if we are to now start the school of the Spirit, where we now start, you know, to hear His voice, to be guided by Him, we are looking forward to the day where we shall be appointed by the Father. There is a day where we shall be appointed by the Father. When that day comes, that is the day where now God gives us the license, the liberties of the Spirit to do according to what God has called us to do. How? How do we? It is by manifesting, by fulfilling, by showing the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. So, if we belong to Christ, the Bible says, We have crucified the flesh. That means we have put it to death. I tell you, if you are to grow into maturity, if you are to grow into the school of the Spirit, first of all, the first thing, apart from understanding of the love of God in redemption, is you must crucify the flesh and its desires. How do we crucify the flesh? We crucify the flesh by turning away from sin. We also crucify the flesh by fasting. When you feel your body is fighting you, when you feel the desires of the flesh are controlling you, you have to put them to death. You have to crucify it. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. And you don't crucify the flesh for it to live again. When you crucify something, let it die. Let it die. That's why Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter heaven without one hand than to go into the lake of fire. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we still see flesh in us, if we still see flesh rising, then we are still yet to grow up, to get to the place of manifestation, to get to the place where God is going to use us and give us the government. We desire that the government to be placed upon our shoulders, but it comes to those who are bearing fruit, to those who are walking in step with the Spirit. God is calling us to that place where we need to be mature, where we need to be faithful. May God help us to bear, to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. I'll stop there, and my brother, you're welcome. Yes.
For the teaching and the reminders. If I think of Christians, we will still have capacity to sin. I think that is living the kind of blood. I know the mistakes sometimes we make. We lack our own wisdom, not ability, or come. But I think we just need to tap the Spirit. And as we continue crucifying and committing I ask the Lord.
Amen.
Believe that to give us the
Amen. Yeah. Oh yes, as you just said, that God has to give us the grace, and we have to crucify the flesh. We really have to. If we really desire the things of God, to see heaven, to inherit that kingdom, God is calling us to that place where we need to be faithful. Thank you for that. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we call upon you. We come before you. We thank you for your word, that you're calling us to that place of fellowship. You're calling us to that place of clarity, of depending on you, of waiting upon you, of trusting in you, of walking and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, O God. I pray that we may walk according to you, according to the step, walk in step, O God. May we crucify the flesh, O God. Give us the grace, give us the power, give us the authority, give us the wisdom, O God. Indeed, I pray that you enable us to crucify the flesh. That, Lord, may we not live according to its desires, but only live according to the desires of the Spirit, O God. Because the desires of the Spirit lead us to life until to the point and to the time appointed by the Father. I thank you that indeed your people that have listened the word, that, Lord, you go ahead of them. Give them victory. Give them victory over sin. Let them know they are victorious. They are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And through that, they are first righteous, and they have the ability over sin. I thank you, and we thank you that this day is blessed. Whatever we do, may be prospered in your hand. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.
Amen.